Welcome to our video lectures on the theme Pope Francis and Rosmini. Obviously, with this title, we don't want to say that Pope Francis would have studied the works of Rosmini, the thought of Rosmini, or would be a Rosminian Pope. This would be a historical conjunction and a theoretical conjunction which, in fact, does not exist. It is rather a theme of actual interest. The thought of Antonio Rosmini is actual in our times, is actual in our times after that Pope Francis has become the Bishop of Rome. This was the impression of the Rosminians in Rome, of the Rosmini Institute in Rome, which asked our Rosmini Institute to present some considerations on the actuality of Rosmini within this new pontificate. And indeed, we can individuate in the acts, in the signs of Pope Francis, in his speeches, and also in his encyclical, which he published some weeks ago, Lumen Fidei, some relevant aspects, some aspects which show us the actuality of Rosmini thought. So, we talk about the actuality of Rosmini. We will have to see, we want to underline some Rosminian themes which are evidently present in Pope Francis, which are the same, which are main themes, which are core themes of the new Pope, without evidently stating that Pope Francis would be a Rosminian Pope. The two main themes which we are interested in is the social ethical thought, the social ethical pronouncements of the Pope on the one hand, and the theme faith and reason on the other hand. For the first theme, we recur to some addresses, to some speeches, to some reflections of the Pope which he had in the few months of his pontificate, while according to the second theme, we can recur to an entire encyclical. Also, if Pope Francis did not write entirely this encyclical, we know that mainly it was written by his predecessor, Benedict XVI, but signing it and publishing it and referring to it also in some addresses and in some speeches which he had after the publication of the encyclical, we see and we are convinced that this encyclical represents entirely also the standpoint of Pope Francis. So let's consider firstly on the first theme, aspects of social, ethical and ecclesiological thought. When we're talking about the social ethical themes, I think we can individuate three main themes which can be reflected in a Rosminian sense in this new Pope. The first theme is obviously the meaning of poverty, the centrality of poverty. The second theme is the collegiality as expression of the unity of church. And the third theme, the theme is this, the centrality, the core standpoint of the person in the social ethical reflection of Pope Francis. So poverty, collegiality and person as three main themes, three social ethical aspects in which the study of Rosmini can be a help for us to understand to understand more completely, to understand also more systematically the thought of the actual Pope. So let's begin with the first theme, the universal meaning of poverty. I think that for Pope Francis, the poverty is not only material poverty, is not only poverty in the sense which Rosmini called the temporal poverty. As Rosmini, also Pope Francis thinks of poverty in a universal sense. And this is clearly expressed by the Pope in an address to the participants in the ecclesiastical convention of the Diocese of Rome on June the 17th in 2013. In this address, the Pope states, "The Church has always been present in places where culture is worked out. But the first step is always the priority for the poor." This priority for the poor, this option for the poor, is one of the core themes of the Second Vatican Council, as we know, and also of the Southern American theology, which followed on the Second Vatican Council, which was not always seen very, very well in a Roman perspective, the perspective also of Cardinal Ratzinger when he was the prefect of the Congregation for the Faith, but which the same Ratzinger as Benedict XVI judged then and sometimes after in a more orthodox, quiet sense, as conciliable with the Catholic faith. Also, Pope Francis goes on in this interpretation, as we see, the priority for the poor. "Nevertheless, we must also reach the frontiers of the intellect, of culture, of the loftiness of dialogue, of the dialogue that makes peace, the intellectual dialogue, the responsible dialogue." So, we have to bring the gospel not only in the places where we have concrete, where we have material poverty. There exists also intellectual poverty, poverty of culture, poverty of dialogue, poverty of humanity, which we can add. "The gospel is for everyone," says Pope Francis. "This reaching out to the poor does not mean we must become champions of poverty or, as it were, spiritual tramps." No, no, this is not what it means. In this sentence, Pope Francis said two things. Poverty is not only understood as material poverty, and secondly, we don't have to become poor to can help the poor. This would be evidently a contradictorious affirmation. Only people who are rich can help the poor. But richness does not have to be an obstacle to help the poor. This is the problem of richness. The social ethical problem of richness is not richness in itself, because only rich people can help the poor. And this is not only meant in a material sense. Evidently, we have to have rich people also to have material help for the poor. But let's think also about the intellectual, the cultural poverty. Only intellectually rich persons can help people who suffer intellectual poverty. Only culturally rich persons can be an aid, can be a help for the people which are suffering of cultural poverty. Richness in all this sense, richness in its entire sense, cannot be understood as only material richness, which is an obstacle to help the others. Richness in a more spiritual sense, richness in a more complete sense, is the presupposition. It's the very, very better position for the possibility to help others. It means, follows now the affirmation, the address of Pope Francis, it means we must reach out to the flesh of Jesus that is suffering, but also suffering is the flesh of Jesus of those who do not know it with their study, with their intelligence, with their culture. We must go there. I therefore like using the expression to go toward the outskirts of existence. We have to go out. Richness cannot be a barrier, cannot be an obstacle to meet others. To meet others, first of all, in their poverty. And this is a very Rosmanian, we can say, a very, very Rosmanian way of thinking. Rosmini says we have to meet the people also far away from where we are thinking they are, also far away from where we are now. We have to reach the people, not only that ones who are near to us, who are interested in us, who are rich, who have just all. We have to reach the people who are suffering, would say Pope Francis, of poverty in the universal sense. And the Christian answer to this is charity. And we know that Rosmini spoke about not only temporal charity, material charity. Rosmini had a very, very complete, a universal definition of charity. Charity which consists in three forms, and the material form is one of the three. The second is the intellectual charity, and the third is the spiritual charity. So also Rosmini was aware that charity has to be understood as a universal concept. And the very revolutionary aspect is that charity is not only understood as material or as spiritual, as a culture of the souls or as praise of God in our souls. This was the first and the third form of charity, but charity is also intellectual charity. It's right that the Church had always called also the intellectual aspect, the studies, the philosophy. But the thought that Christians help others, have to help others also in a cultural, in an intellectual way, This type of Christian aspect was never being thought in the term of intellectual charity. Rosmini was perhaps one of the first who called this type of Christian experience intellectual charity, and therefore who said to the Christians, you must help the others also in an intellectual way. And when we read afterwards the five wounds of the Church, we can see that for Rosmini also the intellectual education, first of all of the priests, of the bishops, the intellectual occupation of the people, the intellectual reflection is one of the main themes in which Rosmini analyzes a certain problem in his Church, and which he recommends to the Church to improve this aspect. And let's finish the quotation of Pope Francis, and when he said, all of the outskirts, where do we have to go to meet people? All the outskirts, from physical to real poverty to intellectual poverty, which is also real. So Pope Francis is talking about really about intellectual poverty, and we can see here that to the term intellectual poverty in Pope Francis is corresponding the Rosminian concept of intellectual charity. All the peripheries, all the crossroads on the way, go there, and sow there the seed of the gospel with your words and your witness. And we have a second address of Pope Francis, this time to the community of the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy on June the 6th in 2013, when Pope Francis said, but what does having inner freedom mean? What does it mean having inner freedom? Now he is combining the theme of poverty in its universal sense with the aspect of inner freedom. And here we see that for Pope Francis, the aspect of poverty is always seen in a spiritual sense. In a sense that only who is spiritually poor, who is poor in a spiritual sense, has an inner freedom, which means an inner independence to all which can create dependency. Dependency which would obstacle the pronunciation, the annunciation of the good gospel. So, first of all, the ones who announce the gospel have to bring themselves into a situation of inner freedom, have to predispose themselves for the announcement of the gospel. And this inner freedom is another word, is another aspect of all the universal sense of poverty which Pope Francis intends. And he says, first of all, it means being free from personal projects, being free from personal projects. So he repeated these words, which he wanted to underline, though. Free from free from some of the tangible ways in which perhaps you Waymonts once have conceived of living your priesthood, from the possibility of planning your future, from the prospect of staying for any length of time in a place of your own pastoral action. It means, in a certain way, making yourself free also with regard to the culture and mindset from which you come. Take great care of your spiritual life, which is the source of inner freedom. Without prayer, inner freedom does not exist. So we can see here that for Pope Francis, evidently he is addressing to priests. He is speaking to the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy. So he is underlining, first of all, also the aspects which concern priests. But we can read these sentences also in a universal sense, in a sense which concerns all Christians. When he says, you have to have a certain distance from the from your convulsion to the possibility of planning your future, from the prospects, also from every, we can say, from every ideas which the subject thinks to depend on, all the forms of dependencies, which are not only material ones, but which can also be personal plans, which can also be sorts of mindset, of culture, and we speak therefore of intellectual, cultural, or all times of also psychological dependencies. So we see here poverty also in this sense. We have to keep some distance, which we can only have when a person is spiritually bound to the absolute. Pope Francis says in this quotation also how we can reach this situation of inner freedom, of spiritual poverty. With prayer, he said, with a spiritual life. In other occasions, such in the interview with Spadaro, who is the director of the Civitas Cattolica on August 19th, and also in his answer to Scalfaro, the director of the Repubblica. In these occasions, he always underlined the importance of spiritual life, the importance to be connected directly to the absolute, of a certain mystic dimension of human life. In the interview with Spadaro, he said that the Jesuit spirit consists first of all in a mystic dimension. He says, Ignatius is a mystic, not an ascetic. He said, the Jesuit spirit, which evidently he is also living in his pontificate, consists first of all in a mystic aspect, not in an ascetic one. So that means also that poverty is first of all a mystic, a spiritual dimension, and not first of all an ascetic dimension. And this is a dimension which we can see in Rosmini, and which in Rosmini, in the Five Wounds of the Church, which Rosmini wrote in 1832, is an entire social ethical concept. It is not only an exhortation, it is not only a revolutionary aspect, it is not only an aspect which wants to revolution all, which wants to say only the poor are in the end the ones who come into heaven. No, it is a more entire concept. It is a concept which has to renew church and society. We have to renew ourselves, we have to renew church now in the moment of crisis, of scandals of the church. We have to renew society, because also society, in its economic crisis, in its political crisis, is in a deep situation of difficulties. This means poverty, inner freedom, a sort of spiritual renew. And he said in the interview with Spadaro, "I see clearly that the thing the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity." So here poverty is thought as nearness, as proximity, which evidently has a material aspect. We have to be near, we have to be proximate to the poor. But in a spiritual sense, it's a wider concept. And only in this wider sense, it could be read as a real social ethical concept. Otherwise, it would be an exhortation to go to the poor. Otherwise, it would be an exhortation to revolution, to look only to the poor, to destroy social structures. No. It is an universal concept on which can be based the idea of ecclesiastical and of social renewal. And he continues, "I see the church as a field hospital after battle. It is useless to ask a seriously injured person if he has high cholesterol and about the level of his blood sugars. You have to heal his wounds. Then we can talk about everything else. Heal the wounds. And you have to start from the ground up." Heal the wounds is an aspect which takes the image of a concrete, poor, wounded person. But this aspect is a metaphor for the state in which all society and all the church is now, and in which the Pope considers society and church now. And he wants to propose an idea of ecclesiastical and social reforms, renewal which has to be also a spiritual renewal. And this is a very, very Rosminian thought. This is precisely the thought that Rosmini presented in his opera The Five Wounds of the Church, written in 1832, published in 1846, anonymously in Lugano, and in which Rosmini does not only indicate some wounds, some critical aspects of church, some aspects which has to be reformed, which has to be brought into modernity, which has to be modernized, but aspects which are some core aspects for the issue to a complete renewal, to a complete new understanding of the spiritual dimension of church. And this, also in Rosmini, does not remain only a perspective for a renewal of church, but it is only the first aspect of a universal concept of reforms, which also co-involves reforms of society, and which therefore has to be read together with another work Rosmini published in the same year, in the same city, and also anonymously, which are the Constitution According to Social Justice. So these two works we have to read together. Reform of church and reform of society have to go together. But first Rosmini writes the reform of church, because from the reform of church has to come out the principles of understanding understanding that instance which is the central instance of society, which is the person. And so, of a renewed aspect of the person, we can rethink then also society. Today we would say that the aspect of dignity of person is an aspect we cannot decide democratically. We have to decide with an ethical reflection, which for Rosmini has to be also a religious reflection. So now let's consider some aspects of the Five Wounds of the Church, and let's read it in the perspective that now we have indicated in the two addresses of Pope Francis and in his interview with Spadaro. In the five wounds, in the last paragraph, Rosmini reassumes the way and the circumstances in which this work was written. He said, "This book, began in 1832 and completed a year later, lay forgotten for some years. The time did not seem ripe for publishing what had been written only as a release for my own sorrow at the sight of the afflictions endured by the Church of God." He is talking about the afflictions that sorrowed him, and in this sorrow he reflected on the conditions of church of his time and proposed some reflections of reforms. This in the same emotional stadium, perhaps, we can now actually see Pope Francis, which is also sorrowed about the state, about the way in which the Roman Curia, in which the Yore, the Vatican Bank, and all other ecclesiastical institutions are today. And Rosmini continues, "But now, in 1846, that the invisible head of the Church has chosen as Pope a person, Pius IX, who seems destined to renew our age and give the Church the impetus necessary for a new glorious stage of unimaginable development. I have remembered these pages and willingly entrust them to friends who have shared my sorrow and now look forward with me in hope." So, Pius IX was initially considered a liberal pope, a pope which is opened, proposed to realize some reforms of church, some necessary reforms of church, which under Gregorius XVI did not seem possible. Indeed, when Rosmini finished to write the work in 1832, Gregorius VI published the encyclical Miuari Vos, and Miuari Vos was one of the first encyclicals in the 19th century which condemned the modern ideas of liberality, the modern ideas of person, the modern ideas of democracy, the modern ideas of the forms of church and society. And Rosmini understood that publishing the Five Wounds in the same year, 1832, it would be counterproductive, not only because the encyclical of Gregorius XVI would have condemned also Rosmini himself, but it would have also realized a moment in church in which Rosmini's work would not even have been mentioned, even have been read by someone. And only 2 years after, in 1834, the same Pope published the encyclical Singulari Nos, in which he condemned Lamennais, the French thinker, which in the same time as Rosmini tried to renew the Catholic doctrine in a democratic sense. And so, only 2 years later, Rosmini had the proof for his thoughts in 1832, the proof that it was right not to publish immediately the Five Wounds. In 1846, Pius IX, who Rosmini knew personally, promised to begin a new period of church, to begin a new period of spiritual renewal, of giving to church a new consciousness in modernity, and to re-establish the relationship also with modern society and with the state. Rosmini was not able to know in 1846 that this liberal period of Pius IX should have been only for 2 years, and that in 1848 he should have changed idea. After this changing of idea, the same Pius IX, condemned the two opera of Rosmini, the Five Wounds and the Constitution of Social Justice. And so the ideas of Rosmini were not officially received by the church, by the same Jesuits who then began with the social ethical reflections, who wrote the Rerum Novarum, who wrote the Quattordicesimo Anno in 1931, and only with the Second Vatican Council we can see that some core ideas, some main ideas of the Five Wounds of Rosmini are ecclesiologically and social ethically received, reflected. We don't know in which way some fathers of the council recurred directly to Rosmini. We are sure that some of them recurred directly to Rosmini because Rosmini was also read by some influential thinkers and cardinals of the Second Vatican Council. But since Rosmini was condemned, and this condemn was only resolved in 2001 by the same Ratzinger, which then became Benedict XVI, so because of this condemn, no one evidently quoted Rosmini officially. But we can see that in the fact many ideas of the Five Wounds of the Church were realized by the Second Vatican Council. And also if we cannot draw direct lines of direct dependency of the Second Vatican Council on Rosmini, we see that Rosmini in every sense anticipated the main ideas of the Second Vatican Council in the social ethical sense, but also in the sense of the understanding of revelation, of the understanding of the constitution of church, of the understanding of liturgy, and in very, very many other issues. And which are these issues? And considering these issues on the themes of poverty, on the themes of collegiality, and on the theme of person, this will be the theme of the next lesson on our theme, Pope Francis and Rosmini. Thank you.